everybody. Welcome to the House of Larry Lamont's, where you always will receive a double help of the justice and truth. Come on in. She's so glad to have you with us tonight. First of all, let's start with some information I want to impart to you. Last week on our Friday show, there was a slight problem with the call-in. I reviewed the show afterwards, and first of all, what I noticed is that it was very loud, too close to the mic. I beg your pardon for that. I'm glad that the mic is picking me up like this. I'm way away from it, and it's picking me up great. Better to have it too loud than not be able to have the great pickup like we had with the, or the bad pickup we had with the old mic. So I hope to have that fixed. But with the call in, I tell you, I reviewed the show. I heard the music key up. That was okay. I heard myself, and I said loud, but I didn't hear the caller. The caller held on the line for some time. And I think that if he had really been speaking, or she, that should have come through also, even without headphones. So I'm not going to buy headphones right now until I find out from somebody else that calls in if I can hear you or not, because I heard the others without the headphones, some of the others. So we're just going to hold off on that, and things are working out okay. And gave you just a little information on something I told you about with the Halloween special that we were talking about, being safe. I told you about how new food products and so forth at the store. Let me give you a little example. I went to the store this last Saturday to pick up a pressure cooker. I made my groceries and I was going to cook up a big stew or something, so I got me a pressure cooker, went down, they didn't have the one that I saw on sale that I wanted. They only had one in the box. It was really a crock pot, and the box was open. So I took it to the checkout counter, and I spoke to the manager. I said, I don't want one that's been used. I don't want one that's been on display. I want a brand new one. Do you have any in the bag? No, that's the only one we have. Well, so this guy got that and went to the counter. And other people said, oh, we need a crock pot too, and ran there. There was no more on the shelf. So the manager was standing there. I said, are you sure this is in good working order? It has not been on display and hasn't been sold. No. I said, okay. And she said, well, just keep your receipt. If you see anything wrong, bring it back. I said, thank you. Getting ready to throw down for the crown, like I always do. Opened the box today. It's already open. And as soon as I lifted the top and looked at the top, covered with grease, cooking grease. Now, what does that tell you, please? Either the unit had been sold to somebody and they brought it back after cooking with it, and it may be broken, may be missing parts, or an employee or manager took it home or cooked something in it and brought it back, maybe had a party and said, well, I'm going to use it, I'm not going to buy it, which they do. I called them today and they told me, they said, well, yeah, bring it back, yes. They assured me nothing was wrong with it. But what I'm getting at to you, you see how people do things at a store? This is an inanimate object, of course. It's a pot. But it's covered in grease or covered in something, some substance, and I didn't clean it. I'm going to show them what's up inside of the lid. That's very wet and damp. And so that's why I tell you, be careful. especially with your children and Halloween candy and so forth like that. That's the mindset of what people would do. Everybody thinks they're smarter than another person. They can get over it. And they may have thought that they're getting over on the old man by selling that to him. They may knew that it had been sold before and thought that it was clean. It wasn't thoroughly clean. I mean, it's right there. If they had lifted at the top and turned the top over, you could see it. The grease, heavy amount of grease. So, okay, we'll get off that, but you see that Mr. Larry tell you things that other people don't tell you. Also, this week I saw the cooking channel in the last week or so. Yesterday and a few days ago, they were talking about what we brought up before, the first one bring up before, about the bacon grease dripping and the can that sat on the stove. This is about the third or the fourth time they spoke about that this year. We bring up topics like that that the world talks about. It seems trivial, but they us because we bring up topics that other people would like to know about. If they gave us funding or if they gave us sponsorship and gave us the show like they gave to James Corden, who now talking about he's going back home. He don't want to be here anymore. And then saying, don't send him back there. We don't want him. He has rescinded his apology, supposedly. And now the restaurant is saying something on that part about the we're sticking to their guns. I'm not getting into it. My name is Wes. I ain't in that mess. What we tell you is facts. Let me cut this music off. I'm not sure if it's not looping and playing still. But if it is, beg your pardon on that. It's hard to, like I said, if you don't have that capability of hearing that to know what's going on. Now it's off completely. But the situation is that we want you to be safe and secure. We give you the best information and the best show of anybody. This is our movie, a Monday Movie Magic, where we're critiquing The Walking Dead, Empire, and The Talking Dead. Before we get into this show, we're going to do preliminaries. There's been another school shooting in St. Louis with three deaths. The death of the gunman, or the alleged gunman, who supposedly is 19 years old and said that was a student at the school, at the high school last year. A adult female and a minor female, and seven other wounded. You can't, lower your guard. I've told you that before. I told you if you're on the train tracks, watch yourself. Somebody just got pushed into a bad situation because they landed and hurt themselves because some nutcase, whether he wants to get the gang initiation, somebody, well, I'll pay you if you push somebody off of the platform or whatever is on the person's mind. The person just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. We don't know. All we know is it shows him pushing somebody. That's why I say be vigilant. Always know your surroundings. Always watch around me. You know, I'm very secure of that. You're not going to walk up and put a knife in my back or my sides. You're not going to push me off anything, because if you push me, I'm going to have you by the collar. We're both going over. And I'm going to try to put you on the third rail. And this is what I try to tell you. This gentleman evidently is not a listener to the House of Larry Lamont, or he would know that. I've told you that several times. Don't stand close to the train tracks. You can be first in line, but stand back. If anybody come around you, watch both sides and watch behind you. If somebody come behind you, move over. so they're not directly in behind you. As we said, the shooting in St. Louis is predicated by today in Michigan, Oxford, Michigan, where last November, former student went in and shot and killed four individuals in the school there. Today, pleaded guilty to 26 charges, I believe. And his mother and father are on charges for allegedly buying him the weapon and leaving a gun case open for him, even though they knew that he had problems. He said that he gave his father money to purchase him a weapon, and his father went and purchased the weapon that was supposedly used or allegedly used in a crime. And they will stand trial for manslaughter, the mother and father, in January. This is why I can't understand why the parents of these kids, like the ones that were bothering my house, if you know your child is bothering the neighbors and harassing the neighbors, even to set buildings on fire, bother handicapped people, blind people that can't see, but you're going to terrorize them, and you're not going to bother them, your children, meaning, tell them, look, either you're going to do what you told, or you're going to go live with your auntie, you know, in Bel Air. And sheesh. They let the child run them. Matter of fact, I'm sitting in the yard talking to the neighbor, in the neighbor's yard, we were talking. The mother lived next door to the trailer, whose father and mother was drunks, died drunks. All of the siblings are alcoholic and drunks. That's why I said the young boys had alcohol, a fetal alcohol syndrome, that they're now saying about some other children. Of course, those boys have no one to tell them what to do. They came by and she walked by down the highway and had something smart to say to me. And we look at her and said, what did you say? Now, instead of her controlling her children from, like I said, terrorizing the neighborhood, she's helping them. And you call the police and tell the police should have went over there and said, look, the first night, if I have any more trouble out of you, somebody going to jail and it ain't going to be me. Sheesh. I would still be in my house right now. The house would not be burned down. Some of the neighbors would still be in their homes. One had to move to Florida to get away from those heathens. So you can see where these parents being held accountable. How great that is for the murder of these people. Now, I don't know about today in St. Louis with the situation there. But I said that those kids should not have been allowed to terrorize the community. And if I had been the police officer, they'd been in deep doo-doo. And when I talked to the detective, he said, I know him very well. And we're going down there on Monday and I'll go with you and we're going to do this and do that. Never showed up, never answered his phone again. He could have been getting property that came from my house and had them stealing stuff for him. Some of the things dealt with business. And you know, crackheads, they stealing business papers. That's police and that's other people that know what's going on. So I applaud the prosecutors there in Oxford to say that you going down too. I'm not going to let you get away with what happened in our community that should not have happened. If you had taken control of the situation and you know your son had mental problems, you should have been dealing with him instead of buying him weapons of mass destruction, you can call it. Now, you talk about weapons of mass destruction. You talk about in the Ukraine. As I told you, now they're talking about the dirty bombs, or the clean bombs, you want to say. That is, will do damage, but will not hurt the infrastructure. It's mostly poison and gases and things like that. Very little fires. It's not going to even set things aflame. So the Russians are now saying that the Ukrainians plan to do that. Don't the people know how to ask questions and say, look, how do you know? Maybe they're right. Maybe the Ukrainians did. But I want to know from you, prove it. If you're the UN and NATO, you want to know, how do you know this? Is your spy network infiltrating us to the point that you know exactly what's going on in the meetings? Maybe the president need to look into that, if the Ukraine need to look into that, if they know what's being discussed. Nobody's answered that question. No news sources asked that question. How do you know? I'm not going to call you a liar. I just want you to put your proof where your mouth at. And if you can't do that, then as now people are saying, they probably was planning to do it themselves. And then wants to flip the strip, just like these people with my home, you know, you're the bad person. When it's really, they are the bad person. So the Russians now may be planning to do something with a dirty bomb. But say, well, we got you before you can get us. Sheesh. These are things that you don't hear anybody else talk about, as I say, but on the House of Larry Lamont's. We want you to have that knowledge that nobody else sits down and try to think these things out. Don't look like the cabinet of the president thinks it out. Just like I told you about the bridges falling. Biden went right there to where the bridge was, and the bridge fell while he was there. Sheesh. Mr. Larry is dead on the case. I told you about the respiratory problem with the children, and that they weren't out of hot water yet. And that's exactly what occurred. Now the children are in deep doo-doo, excuse the expression, because of three types of respiratory problems. And you're talking about situations such as the VSH, and you're talking about COVID, and you're talking about the common flu and the common cold, which make four. Now, they're saying the same thing that we told you months ago. The CDC is not on top of it like Larry Lamont's. We're right. So they laugh at us. I know they thought that I was a fool at the store. I knew what to tell the people, and I knew what to talk to the manager about at the time. And I wanted her to know, this box is open. Has this unit been out the box? No. Has it been sold? No. Have it been put on display? No. Somebody just opened it up, probably looked in it. But all the parts are, and all the paperwork is there, right? Yes. Brand new, right? Yes. Well, if that was sold, it wouldn't have grease all in the lid. And then, but protecting myself and asking those questions and so forth, now make it where they got to take the unit back. They can't even say that I used it because it was open. They knew it was open before I got to the house. The checkout clerk and the manager got it on camera. You got to know how to protect yourself like that. Because people think, as I told you, that everybody's smarter than the next person. And they thought I was just a little old man. I heard him the checkout lady laughed and said something when I walked off. I don't care. She probably want to live to be as old as I am. And she ain't doing too much, and she got to work as a checkout in a doggone store. It looked like she was at least in her 30s. So she ain't doing no big thing to be chuckling and laughing at anybody else. So I don't know if that unit was used or she had used it and she was telling another woman about it, but that's all right. I'll get my money back and I'll get another one in the box closed. Now, let's move on to some other things, but we're talking about the preliminaries here that needs to be touched on, because we are going to give you the best. You listen to the House of Larry DeMoss, where you always get a double help of justice and truth. I want you to know that you're welcome to call in. We're going to do the calls. I'm going to let you know if I hear you. If I don't hear you, you can evidently hear me. If I don't hear you talk, I'll let you talk for some time. Evidently, I might need to hear headphones to hear you, and I don't understand how that's possible that I need headphones to hear you, but I can hear the rest of the program. So I'm quite certain that it's working now. If you want to call in, do so. You know, we're glad to have you. We want you to become a patron at the House of Larry DeMoss. We want you to be a listener, a subscriber. So hit that button and you'll get the very best, the best. We can't give you quality till we can buy quality. We give you quality and contents. That's all we can do. Everybody listen to us. Like I said, the Top Chefs, the Cooking Channel, the PD, the FBI, all countries, the Vatican. Everybody listen to the House of Larry DeMoss. They don't want to own up to it, but they do. We know, we can tell because of what you say and what you do right after the show that you heard what we talked about on the show. I don't care how mundane it was. I was talking about eating women's eating the placenta. They started talking about eating the placenta. I started talking about drinking urine. They came the next day and started talking about drinking urine. You think that's just a coincidence, folks? No. That's the big boys following me. That's why I told you my favorite cartoon or comic was in Ebony magazine that showed the white guy that's supposed to be the great choreographer and dancer. And he said, they called him, he said, I'm busy right now. I'm learning new steps. And he's sitting in front of a television. And across the television is a train going, and of course, it says Soul Train on it. So this great white dancer that's making millions of dollars and world famous, he's learning how to do his dance moves from the Soul Train gang. And that's what's happening here in communications. Everybody is doing podcasting and so forth because of Larry DeMoss. But they don't have the quality of that we have. We're going to get on talking about these movies coming up to the four more episodes of The Walking Dead and interview with a vampire. I don't know how many more episodes they have with that after C. It's a limited edition. And of course, The Talking Dead. And as I told you before, the show lacked what I like because, first of all, when a show has a lot of homosexuality in it, I don't like it because I'm not a homosexual. Homosexual humor is different. Homosexual love and so forth is different. And even in this show, they have the young girl that I told you I was so interested in seeing play the part of Claudia, young black girl. She asked Louis, how was it to have a sexual relation with another man? So the question is in their own minds. I'm not amused and I'm not interested in sitting there and watching it just because you think I got to because somebody put a show on. I'm watching it actually for the vampire situation, and it's between The Walking Dead and The Talking Dead, which is utterly ridiculous. Now everybody else is complaining because they got to wait till Interview with the Vampires over with to get The Talking Dead. But we're going to get on The Walking Dead first. The show seemed like, of course, they started off with the episode that they aired last week. So they waste an hour showing you what already been done. I don't know what cause went into having to show it again, but any amount of money is not worth sitting and watch it again. They showed it several times during the week, several times that night. And then it jumps off into the next episode. And it's just like watching the last episode. All except here come more zombies they have to kill. And of course they're trying to find Eugene happy behind. And Max, his black lover. And I'm just going to say something that I'm going to go off on a limb and say this as a black critic for the white writer. And I predicted this before we started doing this. The situation is a syndrome that I've seen before. Here you have the white writer, Kirkman, who is a short, overweight white man. Can't you just see him as a short, overweight, white kid? He has in his mind two things. Being the hero and betting all the women or the most beautiful women he can get, and especially women of color. That's conquest for him. So he picks the character Eugene to become both, to become the hero and to become the hot lover. And you're saying, what the, huh? See, I'm the only one with the balls to say that, because it's true. Psychiatrists will probably tell you he ain't lying. That's probably more true than it's not, but it's true. The show was good for a time during an 11-year span, but it started to stink. And most people said, I thought it was off the air. It ran many people away running the same storyline over and over and over again. They go to a settlement and their group fight the other group, trying to steal all the resources and claim what belongs to somebody else, whether it belonged to Rick and his group or whether it belonged to somebody else. And nobody can be trusted. These are white men, usually, who cannot be trusted. They're telling the rest of the people, if you remember in the pilot and in the first and second installments of it, it showed black people basically following these white people. They very seldom even had a say, just like T-Dog. And the black woman who blew herself up in the CD with the white man she just met. She felt, I'd rather blow myself up than to live like everybody else live. I might live another 30 years. They might find a cure and everything be all right in the next 6 months. No, I got to kill myself because this white man is going to kill himself. So I got to show loyalty so they lock eyes. See, this is in this young white writer's mind, overweight mind. So he starts off with the conquest of her as a black woman. Even though everything is said, the N-word said number of times. They call Glenn Short Round. Now, they laughed about that because Short Round was the little Asian boy in the Indiana Jones movie, which is an insult, saying that they all look alike. But white people may think that's more funny than Asian people. Me, I knew what the joke was. I knew that it was a put down. So the white writers thought that was the way to go with these two bigot characters that didn't endear themselves to me. Talking about Daryl and his brother Merle, the Dixon brothers. But although the black men are inept, they're not capable of taking care of themselves. The woman of color, you got a T-Dog that said there, why didn't she try, a big strapping young black man, why didn't this black woman say, maybe you can keep me safe? Maybe you can keep me secure. Maybe we need to go off together. There's a Hispanic family that during the pilot that said, look, we're going to go off and look for something else. So they drove off. We don't know whether it's safe or not, but they at least took a chance at life. This woman didn't want to do that with this black man. She wanted to lose her life with a white man she just met. That the rest of the white folks said was crazy. Let's get out of here while we got a chance, while this clock is ticking. Nashish. So look at this episode that I'm saying that to say now, he has made all of the white men who were inept, such as Abraham, who was a bigot, who was mean, who was evil, who was conniving, ended up with a black woman and a Hispanic woman, Sasha and Rosita. How? With all the good men of color around, how could they end up that way? I'm the only one that got the balls to say that. Because you're not supposed to say anything when a white man gets a woman. You're supposed to just chuckle and say, you go, man. Oh, man. You know, bump chest and all that stuff. Bellies. I don't have to do that. I just say it. I even asked them straight out in real life. You know what the white man say? I had to ask the same question. He said, I don't know what they see in me. Because the white man usually ain't nothing. It's just like Eugene and Abraham and so forth like that. You know, I told you about the black woman come here, and she told me, oh, there's my boyfriend. I got off the bus, and I ain't seen a woman in decades. At that time, she was running with every white man she could see, stopping the cars, waving, woo-hoo, turning to a prostitute, you know. But now I'm her boyfriend. Her breasts used to stick out like torpedoes. Now they're hanging down, dragging the ground, sparks flying. Now she wants me. She's got a walker, got to walk on the walker, pushing the walker. I don't walk on the walker. Sheesh. But this is what they teach young black women. So she's taking white men that don't want her, just want to lay up with her. Even some make babies that they don't want to take care of. The white men leave, go back to the white community, the children and the black mother is in the ghetto, in the projects. I know the ones I'm talking about, folks. Just like Abraham, just like Eugene, just like Negan, just like Rick. So I wouldn't want my daughter or my sister to take up with, but you're not supposed to say that because that means you are a racist. No, that means I just got a higher much respect for my women folks and my family and myself. And I don't want no grandkids with this guy as the pappy. So now we're supposed to be happy for Max and Eugene. And Eugene even says probably the same thing. I don't know what you see in me. You know, just like the white guy's ass. I said, how did you get such a beautiful young woman? I don't know. The reason why, the most of them get them high, get them drunk, and then go lay up with them. And they look, go out, and they, everybody looking at them with a white man. So that makes them big. That's a status symbol. Even though he's going to leave them and go back to his white wife, he's never going to leave his wife. Matter of fact, the newspaper did an article about the local newspaper because they got into a row where the woman was shot and paralyzed, the black woman. They tricked her into the white community there and put her in a wheelchair. I had told this woman the same thing. I had told several the same thing. As I would say during that pandemic, the apocalypse, with these men, what do you see in him? I have no problem asking Michonne, what do you see in Rick? Rick was shown to be losing his mind from day one. Rick wasn't stable. They played the part that he was losing his mind. You mean to tell me that I'm not supposed to look and know this white guy ain't playing with a full deck? That I want him to go with my daughter or my granddaughter? No. Just I don't want a black man who's losing his marbles to have my women folks. Or be gay and want my son or grandson or whatever. But the situation is that that is the main thing they play up in this episode. We don't see any of the other people that they showed us the other day that we should worry about, such as Negan and some of the others, but we see them trying to, Max and Eugene, who's going to take the blame for double-crossing Pamela and getting her beloved son, Sebastian, killed. And it constantly shows you that these white people in charge are just like many of the white people in charge now, like the Trumps and the others. And like they used the term, assholes, or a-holes, ashish. You got them black too, that's a-holes. But that's what it showed. And they think that Max is supposed to hate her own people so much that she's going to work with me. This is what Pamela said. You've been loyal to me for so long. I can't see this disloyalty. If you sign these documents, we won't charge you with treason. See me, I put a bullet in the head. You know, just like I told you about the insurrection. We're talking the truth. You're talking about the apocalypse. You're talking about zombies, the dead rising up. Oh, she's got to go. Are you going to try to kill me and mine? If you think that you're going to rule the world and I know that you're another Hitler, start now. Oh, hell to the no. We're getting rid of you right away. You got to go. You ain't got to go home. But yeah, get the hell out of here, Nashish. Not one person of color got that mindset. Together they can't hold a powwow. Michonne, Sasha, Tyrese, you know, Ben, Gabriel, Father Gabriel, Rosita, Sasha. They can't get together and say, come in. These folks is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, like I said. Let's go start our own little thing. We learn from our people how to sew a button on. We learn from our people how to hunt, how to fish, how to tie a line. Now, there's one thing about that that people don't realize. You remember Andrea and her sister? They talked about, the father taught each one how to do a different type of fishing and how to tie different types of lines. And said that the father gave Andrea the pistol when she left. Why did he give Andrea the pistol? You think he would not have taught her how to go out and shoot that pistol? That's some type of a storyline they didn't work on. And Andrea looked like a little tough cookie while she was alive, before she was turned into a zombie. She pulled that pistol and put it to your head in a minute. And I would like them to have worked on that story a little bit longer, because she didn't want to be without her gun. And that's one thing they did, was take away the weapon from everybody, Rick and them, saying nobody else could have a weapon. I know Herschel back on his farm said, look, I'm the boss here. What did Rick do? Rick and his people went to Herschel. Herschel saved Carl's life after being shot by Otis. And Sean killed Otis to live. Another white guy who was a police officer killed another white man who was trying to help him, who probably would have died anyway because he was overweight and couldn't get over the fence. But he, well, one of us got to die so the other one can live, so I'm going to shoot you and push you down so the zombies can get to you. And these two white men fighting over the same woman, Laura, Rick's wife, and Carl, disrespecting his father, want to listen to Sean, because Sean, for the last few weeks, been his daddy, as well as uncle. So you got everybody in Fruit Loops, you know, baby being born, don't know who the daddy is. And technically you don't know, even at the end, who the little girl Pappy is. Because they ain't doing DNA testing in the apocalypse. Oh, geez. And the CDC with his laboratory have closed down. You can't even go and ask him, can you help us out? Draw some blood and tell us what you see or what you think. They couldn't do that. But the situation is, I'm saying, slow show. That's what they got you to watch. And of course, the Talking Dead, they try to explain all these things. And Alicia Tyler, I don't know if she played in it. I couldn't see what part she played in it, but she was the director of it. I remember Alicia Tyler was with The View, wasn't she? And she had a white husband at one time who left her and did the same thing I'm telling you about. She was a wreck. She was always crying, boo-hooing and so forth, because her white man had done her wrong, that they're trying to tell everybody that the white man is the way to go. You can't believe that when the very woman that you got here know that not to be the facts. And should be the first one to say, let's show that not to be the facts, because I know something is wrong here. It was wrong in my house. It was wrong in my bed. And I'm not saying something that's not known. It was talked about. She talked about it freely. And it was almost a nervous wreck. But they want to keep telling you how great it is for Eugene to be with Max. And the young black kid, I don't know what his name is, to be with the I think Hispanic girl. I don't know either one of their names yet. they don't call their names that often for you to know them. And I'm not Googling them and ain't that kind. I get paid to do that kind of research. I'm doing enough. So they're talking dead. They're trying to tell you how great it is that the gore and the guts that they showed you and the kills of the zombies and so forth. Didn't we have a good show today? Nobody ever dealt with it. Alicia, knowing what she went through, doesn't even ask the question, what the hell is Eugene doing with Max? And to say that everybody needs love, too, to hell with that shit. Not with my daughter, as I said. And I think Alicia should say that, be the first to say that. Not with me. It's good that he finds love somewhere else. And so with Mercer, who is in charge of the Guard of the Commonwealth, that's his sister, Max. And his sister said, well, you got to help save Eugene. So now the show is Save Eugene's happy. Big behind. That everybody knows shouldn't be saved. That he's playing the game. That the woman that he was working in cahoots with against these people, Yumika, or Yumiko, as he's trying to double cross the rest of the Commonwealth and village and so forth. So I hope next week they'll have a better show. Of course, they're shooting at each other and killing the Commonwealth guards, and not too many people died. Hornsby died. We all were looking for Hornsby to die. They're treating him so bad. But one thing, you can see that Pamela was just as ruthless as the others. You see that nerve lock she put on his shoulder and pressed right there? It's just like Daryl took that scar that was cut and knew how to maneuver that to make an additional pain. That's one thing that you can see that someone that's been taught by the CIA or the FBI, what they do at Guantanamo as well as what they do in the KGB to get information. See, this is information, like I say, you won't find anywhere else. Listen to the House Larry and the Mouse where y'all be getting doubled up with justice and truth. Ashish. We're glad to have you with us. We want you to become a patron. We want you to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. We're going to get on now talking about interview with a vampire. And I told you, it would be golden once they get on the storyline with the young girl. I could see that in the promos. And they put those contacts in her eyes, and her eyes big, and of course, it's supposed to be dead. But she was turned into a zombie from supposedly a house fire that her mother and aunt died in and were burned up, and she was burning and dying. So Louis told Lestat, why don't you turn her? Now, can Louis turn anybody? He's a vampire. You mean, where does this stop? So they try to say that he couldn't turn her himself and make her loyal to him. He had to beg Louis, Lestat to do that. Louis did. Which is a little tricky because Louis was a pimp. Louis grew up in the bad section of New Orleans, around the bad actors. Louis ain't no, Mantra Pamsey. He knows how to handle himself, whether it's a pimp with his switchblade or his teeth that's a vampire. Ashish. So this young girl, Claudia, is turned. at, I believe, the age of 14. And we got in a good conversation on Facebook today. Because they showed her during the Prohibition era, I believe, in the 20s, as a flapper. And she says she's going out. And she says, I'm 18. Now, of course, she had a hot sex scene with a black kid that she, of course, bit, couldn't control herself, drained him dry so he's dead, can't bring him back. And she supposedly loved him. And the reason people don't have the observation I have, I said, do you know what they did that? The reason why they had her say, I'm 18, is because they couldn't have a steamy sex scene with a 14-year-old. The standard and practice, that's the FCC and so forth. So she said, I'm really 18. So that meant that, 4 years have gone? And she just said, I'm 18. But as Louis said, you will always be a child. You will never grow old. Sheesh. The new clips that's showing her in next week's episode looks good also. I wouldn't stuck with this long if it wasn't for her. It's like watching, you know, Angela Lansbury or somebody else like that. And, you know it's going to pull out the show. Or Denzel. You say, well, I just keep watching it. This part don't really turn me on. I go make me a hamburger, bologna sandwich while this is up, and come back by the time they get on the stream. She's going to carry this show the rest of the week. And I think they realize that. It's not the two vampires and so forth. So they go and get her a coffin. And she likes to read in the coffin and writes her diary in the coffin. I never knew vampires stay awake in the coffin. That's how you can go and put a stake in their heart. So that's kind of corny. They don't know the genre, or they just creating a whole different genre of vampire. And Lestat keep opening the door, you know, saying, it's all right. I'm waiting for him to say, close the lid. Sheesh. Will you go to sleep? They can't help but to go to sleep when they close that lid. Sleep comes natural. They cross their hands across their breasts and they're dead to the world. Until nighttime. And so we're telling you, stick with it if you want to. I think it's worth it to see her. They showed Lestat in his coffin and showed Louis in his coffin, then showed Louis getting out of his coffin and going in to Lestat's coffin, and Claudia looking and peeking out at them. That's why she asked him the question that I told you about before. How is it like to have sex with another man? It's a question that they ask themselves. Don't get mad at me for not liking it. I'm not interested in sex with another man. I don't glorify in that. I'm not saying, ooh, you go, boy. That's not me. So, to me, that could be left out. I think sexual preference like that, and if we're going to do a special show on that, because, you know, I'm now becoming the sex expert in the country in the world with terminology such as cybering and sexting and so forth. I got the whole world talking like me, where the psychiatric community don't even get involved anymore. They're waiting for me to say what I think needs to be said and done. Sheesh. And I'm not afraid to do it. By the way, I contacted Twitter again, and I said I asked for my appeal. several times. I was only supposed to be off for, what, 8 hours? Which is months ago. Now, they got a little a spot down there that says, if you want to forgo the appeal, press there. And I imagine that will reactivate my account. First of all, why should I have to admit guilt or push that button before I get my appeal? If you can't give me a timely appeal, you've already punished me the way you said you were going to do. Then turn it back on. And I told them if they did not turn it on within 24 hours, I was going to make official complaints. Matter of fact, they have turned it into a whorehouse. I meant literally what I said. They got prostitutes working straight out of Twitter. At least my Twitter feed show them. These young girls with the legs wide open talked about, do you want to lick my Pokemon? Whatever that means. Pokemon is not a nasty thing to say, but that's the code word. And they all say the same thing. Different women. Sometimes it may be a white woman in there. They're trying to say, well, maybe you're into white girls, so I'm going to throw her in there. Big girls, fat girls, they mostly are naked or close to naked. And they're prostituting. So Twitter wants the FBI and other people to know that they are a whorehouse, as I said. That's fine. I can stay out. You ain't paying me anyway for... That's what is Black Twitter. I'm Black Twitter. I made Twitter what it is. Before you turned it into a whorehouse and before Elon Musk come in and messed up the whole situation. Sheesh. I made you what you are because they were going out of business. Same way I made Facebook. Same way I made AOL and others. So I told him you got 24 hours before I make official complaints. I'm not going to sweat it. I'm just going to make the complaints. As I said, I don't make idle threats. We know they're not going to do it because they're probably not even going to pay it any attention. They may even erase it when they see it's my number or my name. Don't even read it. But you need to read it. You need to take stock in it. And you need, because you run in a whorehouse openly and know that you're doing it, is against federal law. Then sheesh. What are you with, the crime syndicate, whatever is involved? Are you involved in child trafficking? Are you involved in trafficking women? You're using these young women for that purpose. What do you thought you're going to get my money that I, you know, and I keep seeing their name come up on my email, Twitter notification. Here is so-and-so and so-and-so. I like to do so-and-so to you. See, people, you know, don't play with me. That's why I say I don't play, just like with that crock pot. I'm going back and I'm going to let them know. I asked you all the questions. I got all the answers before I walked out the door. This is a brand new unit. You said there was nothing wrong with it. I took your word for it, got home, it's got grease in it. It ain't a brand new unit. So I want every bit of my money. And I got to pay somebody to bring me down both times. I need a gift card or something to compensate me for that. Something. When you listen to the House of Learning Mouthful, movie, magic. One more game. We got 4 more shows to do. You listen to the House Lawyer Lamont, you always get double help and justice and truth. And God bless you. We'll talk to you on Flashback Friday. You take care of yourself. And sheesh.